weren't recruited for. Okay. Campbell probably knows what he's doing.
I mean, yeah, he's won a bunch of games. I mean,
he's like, he's literally moved dudes around to so many different positions, and it's worked so well. I'm just going to trust his judgment.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's like picking a running back or picking the right quarterback. We trust his judgment. He's won a ton of games. But, like, we come from a time where you might not get the best player to start just because they went so far. The road staff, and I'm talking from the road staff because that's the staff that I know. I wasn't around for Chizik or McCartney or anything. But it seemed like half the time they went out on a whim and just flipped the coin half the time on who should they, especially the quarterback battles. It's like, maybe if you didn't recruit shit, you'd actually be able to decide. So, like, I trust when fall camp rolls around, and once it's getting to the end, that they'll have, I mean, the problem that they have right now, this is another point, the problem that they're having right now is they're looking at all these running backs and going, oh shit,
we got
there's so many good ones.
Right.
Should we make two teams? No, I'm joking. But like, we have a lot of really good players on our team. And how are we going to get each of them the ball? We only get 80 snaps. Is it 80? I don't know. How many snaps do we get a game?
Well, it's
60, 65. 60, I don't know.
It's 60 to probably 90, depending on how you run your offense.
And yeah.
Who the team you're playing against does. But yeah, I get it.
Like, God, you might get 40 in the Cyhawk.
Like, oh crap, I actually want to play all of these guys. What do I do?
Are we, like, recording?
Yeah. Yes, we're recording. I mean, I could make a point for like where I want to cheer on every single running back in that room. I want to watch the electric guy in Eli Sanders. I want to watch the bruising guys in Jirel and Cartavius. Cartavius more so because he's a new dude. I want to watch Deion because he's electric.
I would say Deion's going to be, as small as he is, he's going to be a bruiser.
Do you want to know something?
No, seriously.
He's just like a bowling ball.
You want to know something
fun. Over those pins.
You want to know something?
He's so pissed off when he doesn't score a touchdown every run.
Yeah, he's got speed and he's got attitude. Like, I love it.
So real
quick.
Go ahead. Say your thing.
You want to know something funny? His measurements are inflated. I don't think the weight, the height is inflated. His real measurement is probably like 5'4.5", 5'5". He's not 5'8".
Sure. Which doesn't really matter for a guy in the backfield.
Especially like him. Yeah, no, it doesn't.
No, so long as you can take the hit. But anyways, you mentioned you were talking about Paul Rhodes teams because that's the era before Campbell that you know.
Yeah.
And so I had to look at Jim Walden's last season. 1994 was the year. They finished 0-10-1. We tied at Oklahoma State. That was our best result.
Oh my gosh.
Lost to you and I. 28-14.
Was he good before his end?
Lost to Iowa 37-9. Lost to Western Michigan 23-19. Lost to Rice 28-18. This was the days of four non-conference games, remember.
Question. Was Rice even a Division 1A program?
Well,
I don't. Are they now?
I don't know. I can do some digging, but because I don't want to do right now.
I know when Kansas State got their first win in a while back in like 1989, 1988. They beat North Texas, but North Texas was like a Division 1 AA team. And they still storm the field.
And so just so that people understand how quickly things can change, 1994, Nebraska was ranked number one in the nation. Colorado was ranked number seven in the nation.
Yeah, that's your perspective on how far.
Now they're both the armpit of college football.
Right. And the funniest thing is I'm seeing attendance. This is on Wikipedia. But I'm seeing average attendance and or the attendance figures on each of these games. They're all higher than Oklahoma State or not Oklahoma State, Oregon State and Washington State have for capacities.
Well, I don't know if people remember, but we almost beat Alabama in, was that 07, 06?
I don't remember.
No, that was like 2002.
Oh, was it?
In the Independence
but
Bowl.
But like, right?
Who was the coach?
Came from nothing. Every team did something. Every team went back. So, like, they're, don't underestimate how far, fast and far you can fall.
I think McCartney was still the coach then, but it was just funny to me seeing a team. Jim Walden's last season, when all he's doing is coming up with excuses and we're going over.
How is there not a koozie somewhere that says trying to forget the Walden years?
Well, we just need to work on that.
We
could come up with something. Trying to forget the Walden years. I took a picture. I looked at Jim Walden on the internet a couple days ago because we were talking about it with another group, but I was like, okay, what does this dude even look like? I have no idea what he looks like. I'm like, that dude looks like he's dressing in a Hayden Fry costume. He's wearing the aviators. He has that big weird hat and the coat and all that. I'm like, you're basically like being their little bitch.
Oh yeah. You know what else is funny here is I'm seeing we had two games that were on TV. That entire season too.
Oh God, it's miserable.
And one of them against number one Nebraska was not.
No,
it wasn't.
Yeah, because why would they bring out a film crew for a bludgeoning?
Now I'm curious to see. That was one of the more competitive games. Now I'm curious to see what 1996. Let's see how many games were on TV then.
Well, that's why they didn't have so many. That's why they didn't have many bowls is because they didn't have many channels.
Nobody was on TV. Yeah, 96, we had three games on TV. Our season opener against Wyoming was one of the three games on TV. All of these.
Did we win?
No, we lost in overtime.
Against Wyoming. Holy shit. Thank God I wasn't a fan back then.
Yeah, we...
That's the thing about Iowa State fans. If they've been there for a while, they've been through it. They still held on.
Okay, so let's go to the year 2000.
Loyal sons forever, true's right.
Legit.
Because all the unloyal left.
Oh, here.
No truer words have ever been spoken. Here we are. We got a lot of good stuff going for us.
All the bandwagons left years ago.
Oh, there were never a bandwagon.
Okay.
Let's be real.
So our team that made it to the Insight.com Bowl, we finally got on TV 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in that 12-game season. There we go. So finally started seeing TV. I wondered when that finally flipped because I remember listening to games in the garage radio.
Yeah,
but I mean, I couldn't remember how young I was.
I mean, that's really why there's such a lean in this state to one side is because
TV. Yeah,
TV.
I didn't mention that those earlier seasons when we only played two games on TV, one of them was against Iowa every single time.
Of course, but yeah. I mean. The reason why there's so many farmers or people who don't really have a chance to choose a team because maybe they didn't go to college or whatever, they're going to lean Iowa because they watched on TV with their dad because Iowa State wasn't on TV.
Not to mention AM 1040 playing the radio broadcasts and covering the entire state and then some.
So this is a little off topic, but if you want to look into the whole TV and what it meant to people, look up Notre Dame. They freaking nailed it. He was legendary, so I feel really bad about not knowing his name at this point, but he nailed it. He embraced TV before TV was even TV. And that's why they've been able to maintain their independence, because
what was that?
He was the first one to realize we gotta embrace this.
Are you talking about Lou Holtz?
What was his name?
Yeah. No, not Lou Holtz.
It wasn't Lou Holtz.
The era Parsegan guy or whatever his name
is. No. The one that really put him on the map. What was his name? Hang on.
If you say it, I'll get it.
Newt Rockne. No.
No. It was
wasn't it?
No.
It was Newt Rockne that got them famous. Go back
further. We're talking like the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He figured it out in like the 70s. Who was that?
That's why Notre Dame is so popular. They were on TV. That's why all these teams, like these, all these classic teams are popular. They were on TV.
Yeah.
And they only put the good games on TV. So like, if you're Iowa State, if you want to get fans, you got to be good. Anyway.
For broadcasting and stuff.
I just need to air something.
Okay.
Can we get one fucking star from the Cyclones to please just play on a good NFL team? Holy shit. The Jets are ass. The Jets are fucking terrible. It kills me that if I'm going to go watch Breece Hall, it's going to be him getting tackled in the backfield the whole time he could just be breaking 80-yard runs on these dudes if he just had a decent team. Holy shit, they're terrible. This team's awful.
He did go to the Jets. Well,
what about are the Packers not worth a shit anymore?
Well, I mean, the thing we know about the Packers and Allen. I mean, like, and that will be a fun thing to follow this year. It'll be fun to follow Allen and watch him be the number one guy. Hopefully, he can embrace it. But I'm talking about like a superstar like Breece. People drafted high that they're going to get a lot of playing time and things like that.
Sure.
Like David is on the dumb shit Bears. The dumb shit Bears are going to be fucking awful this year. That new Matt Eberflus guy that they got is a terrible head coach. And I know, Kev, that you don't really care about this.
No.
But good almighty, can we just get one guy? Oh, Tyler's here. Can we just get one guy that goes to, like, I don't know, the Chargers or something? Or the Rams? Sorry, the Rams.
But what's the fun in that?
Watching them score touchdowns, that's what the fun is in that. It's terrible.
The Jets are a fucking joke.
The Jets are awful.
The goddamn Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets, man. Jets, Jets.
Anyway, so.
Tyler, you do watch the NFL, huh?
I do.
I do if I like the player.
I know. I mean, y'all watch more for players, but I watch because of the Cowboys.
Oh, I'm just impressed.
So, guys, I also want to talk about the schedule.
Okay. Okay.
Because
it's setting up.
Man. So me, Tyler, and Kevin, great grammar there. Me, Tyler, and Kevin, we went through this week, and a couple other guys on the Discord. We made a sheet, like a Google sheet, where we can kind of predict every game, and it'll give you the it will do it automatically, the wins and losses and whatnot. And we could kind of see what do we predict the entire conference to go. We're not going to bore you with thinking, like telling you, oh, I think Kansas State will go. No. The issue that I'm having right now, and now that I've actually done the exercise with looking at all the teams and every who plays who, when, and what not, this year is shaping up to be like, where did Iowa State come from? Just went 10-2. Like, yeah, I know I'm hyping it up huge.
Legit though, we have players that people are like, well, I've never heard of him. Well, guess what? He's replacing a guy who came in, bought in, built it up, and then brought in better talent. We're literally getting better.
Right.
I have the problem, and you know what's not helping? Every time Cyclone Football Twitter puts out like a video or a GIF of a guy doing something amazing, I'm like, yeah, we're going 12-0, baby.
I know, right? That doesn't
really help. That does not help. Especially the one from Eli Sanders today of him like, to the house. It's like, yeah, I'd love to go to the house. Come on.
There's guys on our team that are legitimately just amazing.
Right.
I would mention names like Bo Freiler, stuff like that. But no, seriously, there are kids on this team that are really, really good.
Well, they might be
underclassmen, but they're very good.
I think the thing that we thought was a lot of these transfer guys are leaving, or not the transfer guys. It is the transfer guys. We're losing a lot of talent to the NFL and whatnot, but a lot of these guys are transferring out. How are we going to replace these dudes? How are we going to do any of this? Are we going to be terrible? And it's sounding like we're going to be even better. Which is really scary territory to go into as a fan.
It's scary territory.
Getting those expectations up.
It's also good, but it is very scary territory.
I tell you what, on the 12th day of August, I am all kinds of ready to overhype my team.
Yes.
Why the hell not? Who's beating us?
Who's beating us?
Who's beating us yet?
Yeah.
You're damn right, and you won't either.
We may come on this September 4th going, oh no, we're gonna be terrible. And I'll be honest with you guys, I will be honest with you, if we don't beat SEMO by at least 21 points, I'm gonna be back on here again saying I'm really worried about this season, like I did last year.
Right,
probably like you would have felt after 2020 when we ended up going to Dallas.
After we played Louisiana, man,
I was all kinds of pissed that day.
Oh, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I sat by my fire pit in my backyard talking to Tyler for probably an hour saying, why is it even fucking worth it?
I had to talk about the ledge. He was so distraught, dude.
I was ready to become like an Oregon fan again. Like, I was totally – and it's funny how it comes full circle and we played them at the end of the year.
And
but, man.
Stomped a muddle.
But, like, let's talk about it, okay? First, like, I know people are listening to this going, oh, we're not going 12-0. We're not going 10-2. We're not going 9-3. We might go 8-4, and that's probably a good season for this
year. No, we're going 11-1. I did game by game, and that's where
you did game by game, and you talked it through. You talked it through. So let's go. Let's do a quick preview, game by game.
Okay,
and talk about week one.
We're hosting the Sisters of the Poor.
we're hosting the Sisters. If we don't beat the ever-living piss out of these boys.
We're not going to do that.
We will win, though.
We're gonna bring out the patented Matt Campbell Ultra Vanilla playbook in week one.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to hopefully win by...
But
Kevin, we'll never feel like we're losing.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Well, last year kind of felt like we were losing a little bit because we were. This is what I'd tell you. If our boys can't push their boys back and we don't get chunk, chunk, chunk every time we're in there and then break a couple of them free, I don't care if we don't throw the entire freaking game. If we're not getting chunk, 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 we got a problem.
Yeah.
This is not the Drake game. It's probably not going to be terrible conditions.
Sure.
Oh, like, we should be running up and down the field. We got more mature men.
I'm excited for that to be a break-in game for a lot of guys.
100 Deckers.
Yep.
Whoever the running back is going to be.
Get their debut out of the way.
Yep. Get it out of the way. Build some confidence. I'm going to assume. I'm not going to go crazy like I did last year and go, we're going to beat them by 45. We're probably going to beat them by 21 or 24 because that's how we roll. But hopefully we look good doing it. We go away and we wipe our hands and we go enjoy the tailgate more than the game, even though we'll enjoy the game a lot.
I will tell you that the Matt Campbell era is the first era that I've ever felt like if you – like you need to win this. Like you should just win this game. I've never felt like we won. When it comes down to any level of question, though, now we're talking about like a real. We should win this game, but I'm not sure if we will. So when we go into this first game of the season, I do expect us to win.
Yeah, I expect us to win like 7 or 8 games every year.
I don't want to question it at all.
Yeah,
agreed.
I don't think anybody's questioning it. We're gonna kick the shit out of them. Hopefully, it's kicking the ever living shit out of them.
They were 1-0.
All right, we're done talking about SEMO. I'm trying to get somebody from SEMO on the podcast to talk to them. Turns out there's not very many people who root for them. So I'm trying to get like one of the local writers or whatever.
I'm willing to bet that there aren't very many Missouri fans on campus either there.
Yeah, it's probably tons of them. Anyway, let's talk about the next game. Now the next game,
we're rolling into Iowa City.
We might have a little differing of opinion, but Marchie has said it. I've said it. A lot of people have been saying it. We need to attack the perimeter of this game.
Yes.
First of all, Iowa's defensive line is too good to be running it up their nose every single play. It's not going to work. Okay. This is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a really close game. The name of the game is Purdue. Just take out Purdue's playbook.
Yes.
Purdue didn't turn it over. Purdue attacked the edge and they made them look stupid.
Sure.
At home. Made them look stupid. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do we win this?
I will say that we do win this. I think just based on the fact that like we gotta spread it out. Like we've got to, dude. Like the fact that like we can't out Iowa. We're not Wisconsin. Like
make Torrey Taylor like, punt standing in his end zone.
Right. Please. And like field position is the name of the game. We're gonna need good returns and special teams is gonna be key in this one. That's gonna be the story of this game.
It's the story of this game every fucking year.
Every year. Yeah.
Punting. Special teams playing in the margins, not turning it over. It's literally every year. That's how we lost in 2017. That's how we lost in 2018, 2019. Like every fucking year, it's how we lose.
Well, I've never seen Iowa State lose to Iowa in any of my preseason picks. So
no, start now. No. I think that we're going to beat them this year.
I do too.
It's setting up like that. Oh, this team, there's no way that I am mistaken. Especially at Kinnick.
If we're absolutely not. Yeah, like you say, pass to open up the run, and they're not going to throw anything flashy at you. They can't. They're not capable of it on their offensive end.
No. And, like, all of their leading wide receivers are out right now.
I mean, shit, with a way lesser talented Iowa State roster, we've beaten them just with field goals.
Exactly. Yes.
Way less talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just didn't fuck up.
Yeah. Let's just see it through.
Every time we lose, it's because we fucked up, no matter who the coach is.
Yeah.
Right. We shot ourselves in the foot. That's why Indiana lost to them. That's why most teams lose them. Just, sure. All right,
so we're celebrating all the way back from Iowa City from week two. Well,
fuck, you can have fun there. I'm never going there. Hell no. Where? Oh, I'm never going to Iowa City. I'm never going to Iowa City. No, you can have fun by yourself.
I'm not either. Like, I actually have been there.
Miserable.
I have never had a good time, even not when it's football related. Like, it's not a fun time.
Now, at some point, I'm going to go to a game there.
It's not fun.
Go as an Ohio State fan.
They suck.
No, 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 no. You've got to do it with your own colors. That's just...
It's not fun, okay?
So, week three, we're playing Ohio.
Well, yeah, okay. Week four, we're playing Baylor.
So we're 3-0.
3-0.
Yeah, like, is Ohio a trap game?
No.
No.
No, they're butthole.
They're garbage.
Baylor. Baylor, man. This is the perfect spot to get Baylor.
Baylor has a new quarterback this year, right?
They do not have a new quarterback this year. He's a relatively new quarterback that we haven't played before. He finished the year last year with Baylor.
Okay.
Yeah, he played good enough to make Jerry Bohannon transfer.
And so was he as much of a rushing threat?
No, he's not as mobile. He's not as mobile.
Okay, no. So that'll be to our benefit.
They lost their running back. They lost Tristan Ebner and Abram Smith. They lost a couple wide receivers. They have to work out those guys and figure them out. So hopefully they haven't really figured it out by the time they come to Ames. They lost a linebacker who's really good. They still have Dylan Doyle. They lost a lot of their secondary. They returned basically both lines. So you know what that sounds like? We gotta attack them on the perimeter.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because they play the same defense as us.
Yeah. Attack them on the perimeter.
Dylan Doyle, who would have thought he'd have been as good of an athlete as he ended up being?
Well, he found a new school who actually knows how to use his talents. So what do we think about this one? This one's tough. A lot of people have chalked this up like, this is totally a loss.
I actually see us winning this one because I think, especially with Shapen being a pocket passer, I think that we'll be able to get after him if we dial up enough pressure. I also think that one of the running backs in the backfield, one of the running backs in our stable of backs is going to have a huge game, whether it be Eli Sanders or Jairo Brock. One of them is going to have a huge game. I'm calling it.
That would be fun. Just to bruise them.
And plus, to be selfish, they need to win, and it's my fucking birthday. So they need to win just for that.
That's right.
Now, I have this as a close win, too.
Yeah.
I wish it was cold, but I like that they're still kind of figuring out their team at this point. They go on the road to play at BYU, I think, week two. That might be a difficult spot for them because they're playing at BYU.
Yeah.
They're going to be overlooking Iowa State because they're going to be looking for the big fish in Texas and Oklahoma and whoever. They're not going to think Iowa State is anything.
Oh yeah, they're playing. They're hosting Oklahoma State the week after us.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're going to be looking forward to Oklahoma State. Look ahead. Hopefully they're overlooking us. Even if we beat Iowa, hopefully they're overlooking us for this game.
I don't think they would.
Well, we can't. I mean,
we're just going to hit them in the face like men.
I sure hope so. I like us. The only reason why I'm picking us to win this game is because we are at home.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's the only reason. Well, is we are at home and they're away.
Yeah, it's been how that series has been going recently.
Yep. Yes, that's how it goes. The last time somebody won away from home in that series was 2017, and that's when Baylor went like 11-1. So, yeah. And even the year before, Baylor barely beat us, and that was 2016.
Yeah, that was that 52-49 game. That game was entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, I'll run with it. So we just won.
The next week is probably my favorite game of the year. Well, and it's my favorite game of the year every 2 years because we get the easiest team away. The easiest team in the Big 12 away. Yeah. You want to play the easiest team away because we get five teams. Five. That's the other thing that I got to point out right now. We get five Big 12 games at home this year. We have five. We didn't lose last year. We didn't lose a Big 12 game at home last year. Mm-hmm. But the only game we lost at home last year was the team out east.
Do you think Kansas will be overlooking us with their game against TCU coming up the following week?
No, they're not.
No.
No, TCU's terrible.
Well, I was just thinking maybe Kansas is really eyeing that win.
No, Kansas will still be trying to figure it out at this point. I mean, Kansas, like, people are like chalking up, like, Kansas, are they a four-win team this year? I'll believe it when I see it. You can tell me how great Lance Leipold was. You know who I also heard that about? Neil Brown. Had you heard so many times, like probably you, Tyler, and Kevin, and Allison. Was
Charlie Weiss their coach at one point too?
For Kansas, yes.
No, I'm talking about West Virginia for Neil Brown. Like when Neil Brown was coming in, all we heard was, "Oh, this Neil Brown guy, he's really good."
Yeah, well.
Is he?
Oh, speaking of that, because you said we weren't going to go into other teams' non-conferences and all that stuff, but let's dive into West Virginia's real fast. Neil Brown might be gone before the season even starts. He loses to Pitt and Virginia Tech.
Yes. If he loses to Pitt, he got Kansas week two. If he loses to Pitt, Kansas, and Virginia Tech, he's gone.
It doesn't matter if he beats Kansas. If he loses
to Virginia Tech team, yeah. Like, this ain't even like a traditional Frank Beamer Virginia Tech team.
And then they've got at Texas and then hosting Baylor to follow that up. He's going to be gone midway through the season.
That's looking real 1-5-ish.
Good night for that. Beats.
Oh.
So, anyways.
Back to Kansas. I mean, we had easy game, difficult game, easy game, pretty difficult game. Is this an easy game?
Yes.
Yes.
It's on the road still, but nobody's going to be in the fan.
It'll be Jack. We are
5-0 right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like their crowd would be louder if there wasn't a track that separated them from the field.
Yeah, but we're going to overtake their crowd again. So.
It's setting up where if the cards fall right, we use our guys the way that we should use them. We're looking at 5-0 coming home to play Kansas State.
Oh, man.
Okay. a 4-1 hosting Kansas State.
Is Adrian Martinez going to be able to throw with the Jack Trice crowd?
No, there's no way.
He will not be able to throw with a Jack Trice crowd. We are going to be rowdy as shit.
Right. And we're gonna shut down Deuce Vaughn because Deuce Vaughn never does anything against us.
No, never. He had 99 yards of nothing last year.
Right.
Like meaningless yards. The game was over after the first play.
Yeah, you just knew, like, I wonder how that game would have been different had we not scored a touchdown immediately, but maybe it wouldn't have.
Probably not. I said they still couldn't do anything.
I really do think that it would probably have been a lot closer. It'd probably be gone back and forth if we didn't score that immediate touchdown and then Greg Eyes would immediately pick it off.
Yeah, that was just a straight kick right in the sack, and then it never got up off the mat from there.
And then Matt Campbell does one of the most disrespectful drives of all time when he does like a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
Maybe it was even longer. It seemed like it was the whole third quarter. Awesome. It seemed like it was the whole third quarter.
No, well, that was just like that Fiesta Bowl, bringing things back to that Oregon game. That whole second half, all we did was sleeper hold them.
That was a massive fuck you.
It's like, yeah, we know that we're winning, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Man.
So let's just not gas ourselves or anything. We're just going to run the clock out, get the TV timeout so we can all get paid, and we can go home.
Yep. All right.
Those are the worst when you're the losing team.
Oh, Detroit.
Dude, your will is slowly withering away. You're like, fuck.
You're just so annoyed that you can't do anything about it.
which is the same thing as the dink and dunk passing on the perimeter offense.
Oh, yeah. It drives me nuts.
It drives you nuts when you're just like, oh, my gosh, somebody please just swat the ball out of the air.
Right.
Is this a victory?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, like, are we – now, we've done half the schedule. Let's recap. What's the possibility of us going 6-0?
I think everything – like, so everything opens up. Like Iowa has proven, if we beat Iowa, I think that's the way that we go 6-0.
Well, we got to beat Iowa to go 6-0.
What I'm saying is that like if you beat Iowa, your schedule opens up. Even though Baylor week
right.
four,
right? Then you build game. You have the confidence to right. do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. What's your like? If you were give me like a percentage of giving us having us go 6-0, what would your percentage?
I will say, I'm gonna say 40%.
That's high. That's really high.
40% of us going 6-0?
Yeah, yeah, the chances, percentage-wise.
Oof. And the alternative is any other combination?
Yeah, the like alternative five, is any five, other. 5-1, 4-2.
Okay, there's probably like a 20% chance of us going 6-0.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably put it at 15, but still. I'll take Tyler's 40.
Well, I'll run with it. Yeah, the Baylor game's the one that scares me. The rest of them all suck.
I would say our chance of going 3-3 are zero.
Yeah.
Or 3-3 or less. I think we beat one of the three tough teams.
Well, at least go 4-2.
We'll at least go 4-2.
Yeah.
Which if you extend that out, you go 8-4. But all right, let's continue. Because now we get into the real meat of the schedule. Okay. The real meat.
Yep. So
we got Texas on the road, baby.
That's an Allegiant direct flight from Des Moines, by the way.
That's totally a dad thing to know. Anyway, here's what I'd say. Most people are chalking this up as a loss. Here's why you should reconsider. Yeah. Should you reconsider? I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you what I think about this game. Here's one devil's advocate, if you will. What game does Texas have before this?
Oklahoma.
Red River Rivalry.
You can say it better than I can.
Yeah.
I don't care if they win or lose that game. They're not going to be ready to play.
Every game after is a down. It's a downer. Now, they usually win after, but they always play some team that they should have destroyed. And they don't.
My God, look at this schedule that Texas has. Like, What year is this? 2022, yeah. And we're talking about Texas having a difficult stretch. That's how far the mighty have fallen. Look at this. Right. So they are playing Oklahoma, followed by at Iowa State, followed by at Oklahoma State.
Ooh.
And then who?
We are in a letdown look-ahead sandwich, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
They could go over on that stretch. They could
go over.
That's a letdown look-ahead sandwich.
No, it sure is. That's another coaching change by the bye week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sarkisian, your line coach is yelling at guys on the bus again.
You think this is a joke? You think this is a fucking joke? Beautiful. So that's why I would say, like, if you're picking this as a win, you're not crazy because they got Red River the week before.
I believe in I believe in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we haven't lost them in a while, so why would I think that we're
today? I'm picking us to lose. Kill me.
Of course. I think this is lose. I was like, I was gonna say I would love for us to be 7-0 going into the bye week, but
what a couple of wieners.
It's really difficult to continue that after you beat your rival.
So we're beating Baylor.
Yeah.
We're losing to Texas.
And we lose to Texas.
It's home and away, dude. It's incredibly difficult to win on the road.
Okay. But so you remember the last game in Austin, that took a whole lot out of me.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's been a while since I've lost my voice on a road game, and that might have been the last
one. That game, man. That game was.
I don't know how
I would. If I was a Texas fan, I would have no idea how to handle myself after that, where you just look like, oh,
this is an easy one going away. We might have been with some Texas fans.
Were you at that game?
No, we were with Allison's family in Missouri for Thanksgiving.
It was so sad.
Yeah, we were really nice to him.
I didn't even talk shit because
it
felt so bad.
Enough things were said out in the open air, just me yelling at the TV, that I didn't need to say anything to him. He already knew.
Yeah, but most of the people were against us.
Oh, yeah, no, the crowd wanted us to lose.
And they were talking shit the whole time, and when it ended, I didn't even talk shit.
It's because most of the group in your family in Missouri are not Mizzou Tiger fans. They're Kansas City Chief fans. They don't care about
the college football.
Yeah, so it was like, nah, Kevin and Allison, they like college football and they love Iowa State, so let's just cheer against them.
Fuck them.
Well, there was one guy that was an Arkansas fan, and so he was cheering for Texas because they're old rivals.
That's dumb.
He didn't want – well, I'm just saying what it was. But guess who rose out on top?
I mean, Arkansas didn't whoop their ass last year.
What's wrong with the family? Anyway.
We see all kinds.
So, I have a 6-1 right now.
All right, and then we're going to go into
five and two, six and one, somewhere in there.
It was a lot of fun, though.
We're going into a bye week, and I want to bring up an idea that I told Kevin about yesterday.
Perfect time for a bye week.
It's perfect time for a bye week. I'm very envious of Nebraska.
Hmm.
You want to know why?
Oh, yeah.
They get two bye weeks.
I loved the double bye. I loved it in 2020.
Since they play week zero, yeah, they get two bye weeks in their schedule.
Man.
Get me on the horn with the Big 12 office. I'll tell them that I can handle the negotiations on the TV deals because we should be implementing two buys to extend our season by another week and have that extra week of football. I mean, yeah, that would be nice. Everyone should be doing that. Isn't this all that they keep talking about is player safety and what have yous, and we need to maximize our revenues? Stretch
your bye week would do that.
Yeah, stretch that season out by one more week. That's not that crazy. And bring it forward. Don't bring it more into the holidays. Bring it forward into the end of August.
Yep. By week three, which would be our fourth game, if this was to be a thing, by week three, we would be the only league with like conference games. Right. Everybody on week three is like, can we get a fucking real game, please?
You want to hear the only bad parts about bye weeks when you only get one. Okay. The worst part about having a bye week when you only get one is when you're here. I'm looking. TCU's bye week is week three. Oklahoma State's bye week is week four. Like that is terrible.
That's awful, dude.
We haven't even started the season and I already have to take a week off. And then you get into the real teeth of things and you don't get a break. Like right. TCU of all programs needs that break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're not going to get anything.
We need to figure out who we need to write to get this in our schedule.
Well,
but anyway, the next week, the week after the bye.
Two weeks to prepare for
Oklahoma, baby. They're coming. They're coming to our house.
Oh, man.
They're coming to our house. We're letting them know. They're coming
to our house. This is probably going to be an ABC 230 game, or depending on who the records, this might be a big noon game.
Ooh,
I think this might be the big noon game, dude, guys.
It'll probably be a big noon game.
Oklahoma's used to that time slot.
Yes, they are.
And but yeah, this is going to be a different Oklahoma team than what we're used to. This reminds me of like the Bob Stoops Oklahoma teams that were really, really good on defense. Because by this time, I think on my schedule, I still have them undefeated at this point. So
I mean,
definitely. So Oklahoma is coming off of a bye as well.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Now this is what I'll say.
And they were hosting Kansas the week before that.
Let me ask you a question, Kev.
Hmm. Who do they have after that?
How good is Brett Venables as a head coach? How good is he?
Fuck if I know. He's probably trash.
How good is Dylan Gabriel as a quarterback?
See, I'm assuming that this is one of at least the worst quarterbacks that we've had to take on from Oklahoma.
I mean, we are making like huge assumptions here.
Oh, he's right. Probably butthole. He's no good.
Well, then they'll just put in another five star, you know. But
well, it's like,
how do we know if they're any good? How do we know?
I tell you what.
I have no idea. Like, people are picking them and they go like, oh, they're second in the conference. How? We have no idea what they're going to look like.
This has been the best part of all the bitching I may do from time to time, or most of the time, about conference realignments and things like that. Us moving to a round-robin format in football in the Big 12 has been so helpful for Iowa State. In conjunction with our team just getting better, you know.
Yep.
But there used to be this fear factor that would come with the Big 12 South programs that you would only play once every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, yeah, in part because they were better. But it seems like Texas and Oklahoma are human. Whereas once upon a time, you had already admitted defeat before the game even started at a point. And now I consider we're talking about considering Oklahoma and Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma State on the same plane, give or take.
Yeah.
In what reality in 2001 was that?
It wasn't. Baylor was.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I mean, that's the funny thing about this whole conference. If you're gonna get meta about it, is like, what team besides Kansas, and we even think Kansas is getting what team is dog meat?
TCU.
Like, what three teams on this schedule like have no chance? I mean, it was always Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State until the 90s.
Yeah.
Kansas, like those are like just set, line them up and knock them over teams. Just get them on campus. We'll embarrass them for an hour and then send them packing, those losers. There's no team like that now. TCU beat the conference champions last year.
Yeah, they beat Baylor last year at home.
Baylor is a terrible road team, by the way.
Yeah.
They beat Baylor at home last year.
See, and that's what I was saying. The flip side for them is that all their tough games are on the road instead of all their tough games being at home. Mm-hmm. Which is the flip, because we had all our tough games on at home yet last year, and then all of our easy games were on the road. But like
last year we had to play Oklahoma and Baylor on the road.
Oh, true.
Yeah, ours is a little more balanced.
Is we got a little bit of a balanced one. But yeah, like Oklahoma, this one, I have no idea what to put for this. And I mean, we've beaten them a couple times since Campbell got here. So like, I have no clue. I can see us losing this just because they're athletes. I could see them just Brett Venables not knowing what the fuck is going on with, I mean, he's already having coaches resigning and all that crap. I don't know what to believe. I just know they have a lot of good talent. And, yeah, we're just going to go with that. I think that this is going to be a really close game. I think it will be at Iowa State, under the lights. Everybody's doing the juicy wiggle. We probably do it two or three times. And we'll eke out a close victory, hopefully.
I have this game.
What's that?
I said I have us winning this game, so yeah, I pick us to win. Very, very close game, but we win it. Which means that right now we're 7-1.
Well, of course, I have us winning. My Iowa State is 8-0.
Your Iowa State. Jeez. I mean, man, 8-0, man.
8-0.
No, I'm dreaming big time right now. This is where I start recording those playoff prediction shows.
Oh, my. Yeah, see?
So that I'll have something to show the grandkids sometime.
No, okay. Kevin, do you think we're going to beat Alabama? Or do you think we're going to beat Ohio State? Which do you think is easier?
I mean,
which slot do we need?
Well, I'd rather take Ohio State in the first round, and then I can get Alabama on less rest.
Mm-hmm. You want to beat the giant of giants.
You want to beat the
– Don't get too greedy now, Kev, with your playoff predictions.
Playoffs?
All right.
Can you imagine if, like, all this stuff goes to fruition and we are 8-0? Because at that point – I think the week after that is when the playoff rankings would come out.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, I would tell you, I told you so. But if you ever looked at my NCAA basketball brackets,
it's Iowa State.
Iowa State's always the champion, and I just donate money to whatever pool I'm ever in.
Yeah, I'm just letting myself dream for a second.
Who do we have after this game?
We got West Virginia, which I think is the homecoming game.
At home. I mean,
new coach.
By the way, Oklahoma has to play a pretty cold game too. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're getting into games where it's like the team on the road is going to be playing in the cold that they probably don't like. West Virginia doesn't care though.
I do honestly think we're going to have an interim coach by this point.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying that they are, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason why I'm picking us in this game is because, like, literally last year, the reason why they won this game last year is because they circled this game on their calendar because we whooped their ass 42. Well, actually, no, the last few years before this.
Okay. Pardon me, Tyler. Kevin. Did we lose that game last year?
Well, yeah, we did lose it. Are you asking?
Did we get screwed?
They did their part.
Did they, though? I didn't see a foot down in the end zone.
He also, Brees was also in.
Brees was in.
They didn't have all the TV angles, apparently. But
I didn't snap that ball. I didn't see them snap that ball on time.
Yeah. That wasn't a game that I've
stole it.
Oh.
They stole it.
This game, man, this is going to be just embarrassing for them.
Bloodbath.
So they lost. They lost. This is their portal entrance from last year, and they have many. They lost a linebacker, a tight end, cornerback, QB. They lost Winston Wright, big time receiver for them. They lost Sean Ryan, big time wide receiver from them. Okay. Jackie Matthews. They got in JT Daniels. I don't think he's anything special. They left Isaiah Esdale, big time wide receiver. I mean, this is like literally their two deep from last year. They lost Josh Chandler. He was pretty good. He was a linebacker. They lost Akeem Mezidor, who was like a 2-year starter, had only been on the team for 2 years, 2-year starter at defensive end. They lost Nick Troy Fortune, starter for them. They lost, I mean, they've lost so many guys who like played and were starters. I mean, this team is going to be embarrassing.
I just think it's all set. It's all set up for, there's an interim coach coming by the time we play them.
Yeah.
There's an interim coach. This is a dumpster fire. That JT Daniels has like, yeah, he was a 5-star guy in high school who went up a year to come to college early. He's not done shit in college.
He also can't stay healthy either.
He can't stay healthy. He'll be injured by the time.
I was thinking the same thing.
And I'm not wishing injury on people.
Injured by then? It's just going to be.
I mean I'm not wishing injury on anybody. I would never do that. Absolutely.
It's just, that's probably what's
going to happen. But it's the reality.
Yeah.
We're going to kill this team. We're going to absolutely slaughter this team. They might just leave for the ACC right after. We'll not play in until we play in that conference.
Just going to sit idle.
Just be like, we don't want to play no more. We're taking our ball.
Yeah, nah, we done.
We'll be better off without.
We out. How many more games we got left?
We got three to go, and then the Big 12 Championship.
Okay, we have the one that I think right after this, which is at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Let me pull up Oklahoma State's schedule just because I don't want to say what I'm going to say if I'm wrong. So I got to pull it up.
So they are they're playing at Kansas the week before.
They're playing at Kansas.
Yep, and then
here's the one game.
Hold on. They're playing at Kansas the week before, and then they are playing on the road at Oklahoma the week after.
Ooh, for Bedlam, okay.
Man, that second sentence that you said, that might change my mind. This is probably the toughest game of the year.
I have us losing at Oklahoma State.
I do too.
I think that this is the toughest game of the year.
Yeah.
Even though they've lost quite a bit, it's so tough. That it's so tough to play there. They're a good team. Gundy's a good coach. I hate saying this is a definite loss, but like this is.
I just feel like this is a loss.
I don't see how we win.
Well,
if it's at home, I think we win.
They've all been tight games though.
Every year.
Yeah, every game since 2015 has been a one score game.
Yep.
It's nuts.
This is a really close game, and I just think that since it's on the road, it's a tough one and we can't win it.
Yeah.
And I needed
I hate saying it.
I couldn't finish my bracket or my schedule with Iowa State undefeated. So this looked like, of all of the games, the toughest one.
What happens if we go undefeated and you're and you had that one loss just because you couldn't pick going undefeated?
If that'll be fine. That'll be fine with me. If we only lose to Oklahoma State, I'm going to blame it on myself for jinxing it.
You're like, at the game. And then next year, I'm like, damn it, Kev.
it'll have been my fault. No. I don't take marking things as a loss lightly.
Kev, I think if we go 11-1, nobody is going to blame you or –
I'll call the Cyclone post-game reaction show and apologize to everyone.
Like, guys, I apologize. My jinx just
I jinxed the shit out of this one.
We are going from a game. If we're done with Oklahoma State talk, we're going from a game that I find very, very difficult to win. I don't find a way that we win it to a game that I don't really find a way that we lose it. We play Texas Tech, and it is going to be like 40 degrees outside. Most of those boys have never seen 40 degrees.
If we're rolling,
it's going to be a repeat of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's how these sorts of games go. It's like that Kansas State game last year. You jumped on them early, and they never had a chance to catch their breath before they were already.
It's at home. You got to remember, Campbell is great at home.
Yeah, it's just if you suck the life out of them, don't let them think that they have a chance.
Let's also remember, guys, that this last year was also Campbell's first loss to Texas Tech. He was undefeated before this. We're about to start a new streak.
Texas Tech is playing, they're hosting Kansas ahead of our game. And then they're hosting Oklahoma after our game. So they will, well, depending on what position Texas Tech is in, they probably are going to be putting full focus on Kansas just so they don't lose to them.
Yeah. And they have a brand new coach. So this is kind of, they're still learning the offense, learning how to play with each other. Yeah. And does that really matter at this point in the year? Second to last game? They probably learned pretty much well enough right now. It's cold. Those boys don't like the cold. It's a real thing. Playing on the road in a tough environment. If we're 10-9-1 or 8-2 or whatever we are at this point, they're walking into hell. And they're gonna feel it. And yeah, like I don't see how they win. They have a couple good weapons on their team. I mean, doesn't the whole entire conference. So,
all right, yeah. and then at TCU Thanksgiving weekend,
win next,
yeah, like so next is a Big 12 championship back in Dallas.
I have TCU going 1-11. I think they're going to be terrible.
I actually have TCU going to a bowl game. I have them going 6-6.
I think they're going to be so just awful. Just embarrassing for this conference. We should have never let you in. And
I don't have much good to say about TCU.
Let me ask you, who's going to be their quarterback?
Fuck if I know.
Is it going to be Max Duggan or is it going to be Chandler Morris?
I didn't know Duggan was still there.
Duggan is going to be a senior, yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Chandler Morris by the end of the season.
We're going to play.
Yeah, they'll have turned the page, wouldn't they have? It's not like Duggan is a career starter for them or anything where they owe him the sentimental, right?
I mean, they have a brand new coach. They have brand new running back. They have brand new wide receivers. They have brand new quarterback.
I mean, I guess it could go either way. It could go either way there. I could see the coaching staff just saying, sorry, bud, we got to keep our jobs.
We had brand new everything. I mean, the way that we roasted them last year, the last game of the season, they're going to be in the same position because they have to play these teams, and they're going to be kicked in the dirt, and they're just going to want to be done with it.
By the way, now that we're 11-1 or 10-2, depending on who chose us to lose to Baylor.
Yeah.
Can we just take a quick second to
absolutely
to look at how Houston is setting themselves up to be able to recruit as a Big 12 power without ever having to play the real Big 12 teams? They are playing non-conference this season against Texas Tech and against, what was the other one? Kansas.
Give me a break.
Wow.
If, for the love of God, Kansas Jayhawks, Red Raider Nation, will you do me a solid and just not lose to those clowns?
Beat the Cougars.
The last thing I need to see all over for the next 12 months is how they're Big 12 bound and look at us. We're 2-0 in the conference because we played the two trash programs. I the headlines are already writing themselves in my. Oh,
you know, but you know, though, Kev, they got a 4-star a couple days ago in a running back.
Fucking G5s.
They got last year. They brought in a couple other 4-stars in their program.
Yeah.
If you want me to continue, we can start talking about UCF. I
consider TCU in the same vein as all the rest of these. They don't belong.
UCF has 5 4-stars committed.
Yeah, and it's not that they're good places or anything. I just think that all of these member programs of the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC are doing themselves a disservice by adding these other programs that are in these metro markets that have decent recruiting around them to the fold and calling them equals. You're doing it for the short-term gains of your conference that's going to end up probably folding and consolidating into some other conference anyways.
Right.
I guarantee you the people at the Big 12 offices are going, damn it, I wish the USC and UCLA would have left last year.
Well, right. No. But there's a difference. There's the Big 12 office that their job is solely based on whether or not there's a Big 12.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's Iowa State and there's Kansas and Kansas State and Oklahoma State and so on down the line that they could be just fine if the conference was completely dissolved and brought back in a whole new with the existing Pac-12 or ACC programs or you know what. And instead we're bringing up more mouths to feed and they're getting to play against, I'm sure it was a home-and-home setup that Kansas and Texas Tech have set up with Houston. Just like, isn't there another one? Who's going? TCU's got a home-and-home going with SMU.
SMU, but that's a game they play every year.
They do play that every year. Well, that's a rivalry. Good then. I saw something on Twitter today. Again, of BYU advertising that they're part of Big 12. Welcome to Big 12 country. You are not in our conference yet. You're not.
They're going to want to fucking they beat Baylor.
Yeah, you're not. And so that is their marketing tool, is that they're joining our conference. And the same token, we've got recruits who don't give a damn, don't even know them.
I mean, we got guys on the podcast saying, oh, yeah, that whole realignment thing or whatever. I don't know who's coming, but whatever. And then all what these guys are hearing from those coaches is, we are going to the Big 12. We're going to the Big 12.
Yeah, and they might be great. Who knows?
Sure.
Like I say, I'm just jaded. I still don't like TCU, and they've been in the conference forever.
What about West Virginia, though?
I don't like them either. I like them more than the others, but I don't in the vein that I know that if the ACC or the Big Ten ever asked them to join, I mean, Big Ten, not even money aside, if we were equals, they would move just for a better geographic fit. Would they move to the ACC now? Who knows? It's kind of a cluster there. I think the ACC is in trouble with the Big Ten and the SEC sandwiching them.
Well, if you think about it, like the SEC plucking them would make sense because then plucking the Carolina schools and then the Virginia schools would make so much sense for them because then they would be in the Mid-Atlantic region for the SEC and you would be fully down the coast. But yeah.
I think we'll get a pretty good idea. I think we'll get a pretty, when, as far as realignment goes, we'll get a good idea of who actually has the cachet to pull a move into these two the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
After you see what the Pac-12 is officially being offered for their programs that include Washington and Oregon.
Because what I really,
my opinion on all of this is that out of all the rest of us, we're not worth enough to move the needle dollars and cents wise. And so, I mean, we're all worth a value, but if they're throwing around $80 million a school share revenue shares, there is no, apart from Notre Dame, there is no one left that's going to move from that hasn't already been put into one of those two conferences.
No. Right. And then you think about all the other trash ass schools that are about to get grandfathered in.
It's going to make me wonder.
Because, oh, yeah. Well, somebody's got to lose.
It's going to make me wonder, like, when there's 16 teams in the Big Ten, 16 teams in the SEC, Bama's going to win everything, okay? Ohio State's going to win every game. Michigan's going to win every game but one. Penn State's going to win a lot, blah, 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 blah. USC's, they're going to figure it out. Like, they're going to – I think that they have a good coach now, and they're going to win a lot of games.
I won a lot of games.
How many of these teams that were like okay are now just going to be irrelevant? I mean, Arkansas, Tennessee.
I could see UCLA coming to regret that decision to move.
Yeah, they might not win a fucking game.
They might not win a game.
They got Chip Kelly, and they'll probably fire him by the time they get into conference.
In the same vein that I think Texas will find themselves in the same, their grass is not greener and
no
on the other side from, I mean, they're already struggling to win 8 games a season as it is
in this Big 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to love is when Iowa State doesn't have to play the two juggernauts that are, one of them just wins based on talent. The other one wins based on talent and pretty good coaching in Oklahoma. I can't wait till they're gone, and we basically play on an even playing field with every team for the most part. Every team, we're not intimidated that, oh, my gosh, you're filled with 5 stars, and there's no way we're going to compete. Yeah.
I don't feel that anymore with Texas.
Knowing back in the Rhodes days, like, I was always like, come on, guys. Like, some of my friends were on the football team. I'd be like, come on, guys. We're going to go out there and win it for the Kipper. And, like, they would tell me, they're like, we're not going to beat that team. I'm like, how do you have that attitude? But, like, yeah, that's some of the mentality.
Yeah, and that's getting back to
playing.
Now that we've been playing them, again, with better talent, but – playing them year over year rather than alternating years, I think that's helped too.
Yeah.
But you didn't believe it until you beat them.
I mean, even like.
I remember some of those early games of finally beating both of those teams.
I mean, do you not remember the 2018 game?
Yeah.
Where you just watching Kyler Murray just run around and Hollywood Brown just like destroy our defense. it's like, oh, wait, that's what talent looks like. That's what five-star talent looks like, NFL talent. Okay, I gotcha. We didn't have that. So now, like, the good thing, I would say, even though we're losing it, we're losing out on money, whatever, we're going to compete a lot more. And our brethren in UCLA and Texas and all them, they're going to look back and they're going to go, look at all the money we're getting for a 3-win season. That is miserable. Those Texas fans and all the other fans that are leaving for that money, they're going to look back and go, I wish my team was playing the teams we like to play and winning.
I don't think they really want to leave. If they wanted to leave, they would have left already.
It's all the presidents going, let's just make a bunch of money.
I don't think it's the presidents even. I think this is Fox and ESPN running the whole thing into the ground.
They're going, let's make tons of money.
Yep.
They don't even care about the games. They don't care about college. They don't care about the football game, the essence of the game.
Well, that's kind of where I keep going back to. Now that we've completely screwed up what was, and I'm not getting into paying players and all that stuff. That could have easily happened the way it was.
Yes. Yes.
What I'm talking about is we're pulling up G5s who never were a part of this top tier
club. Yeah.
And we're in the same breath, we're talking about killing off teams that were always a part of it in like Oregon State and Washington State. And it wasn't too long ago that us Iowa State fans were thinking we were in the same pot where we were going to get screwed in the late 2000s or early 2010s or something like that.
Early 2010s. Yep.
And so that's why I'm so bitter whenever I see San Diego State getting ushered a program that no one has given two thoughts about. Well, they're close to the LA market and they have a NFL ready stadium. Like that fucking means anything. Apparently no. It does. It means you don't have any fans. So why does that equate into a real product? You're buying the fact that they're in a metro market, and that is not what college football is. And they're ruining it for me.
Football is tailgating in a dirty, dirty fucking field.
Right?
Right.
College football is getting into the game just like sunburnt as shit.
Yeah, if
I want – your family. And your friends that you went to college with.
If I want to never have a great experience traveling to road games and all that sort of thing, I should have just been an NFL fan. Because that's the part that's so terrible about what's going on with college sports right now.
This is the problem. Like this is the problem when you have TV executives that take over college football. They're basically trying to make it into a mini NFL, which is not what college is.
College football is watching your team run out on the field together through a marching band, screaming at the top of your lungs.
I think college football could have been set up and restructured similarly to how the NFL is. Hold on, you're gonna make me have a beer here.
Kevin's gonna make you have a beer.
And they want
you to have a beer now.
No. The trouble is you've got moves like what the Big Ten did in bringing in Maryland and Rutgers for at the time was their cable market that nobody gives two fucks about anymore.
No,
but they can't get rid of them because that's how conferences are set up. And we're all too selfish to blow up conferences and restructure into something completely new because for some reason, who even knows? Nobody's told me. I don't get paid enough. And instead of just making something into a regional division of a larger pool of cash. You know, just like the NFL is set up where it's a nationwide league. And this is why I keep going back to, I'm holding out hope that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the ACC don't scramble for more, pulling up more G5s that don't bring any TV value. Can we just pool together and hold on to what's left and regionalize our divisions and play for something? I think that that's what's really going to be the long-term play. But you know, you got egos and all that stuff that's not going to allow it. And every conference commissioner is going to be fighting for his job because he knows he's going to get fired as soon as everything consolidates.
Yep. I mean,
why isn't Iowa State playing Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Missouri, right?
Money.
Well, here's the thing. I tell you that those games would make more money.
And you're damn right that would make more money. And that if everyone would just do that. Way more fucking
money. Because that's going to be a regional game anyway.
But
everybody in the region is going to watch it. Who cares about UCLA Purdue? Nobody gives a shit about UCLA Purdue.
Nobody. I'm telling you, y'all. I mean, yes, you're going to have all those big name brands. But, like, you want to know why I watch? I want to watch because Iowa State plays Texas Tech. Iowa State plays Oklahoma State. Those games are just as good as watching a whole fucking league full of blue bloods play each other. Like, if I wanted to see that, I could literally watch Cowboys Chiefs.
That's what the fucking playoff is for.
Exactly.
I tell you this, and people think I'm in some minority or I'm just a bullshitter or they just don't understand what I'm saying. And that's possible. I'm not always the best at explaining my thoughts, but I've always been an Iowa State first fan in any sport that I care about. So what I mean by is I don't give a shit about the NBA. I don't give a shit about the NFL. I'll watch part of the Super Bowl because I feel obligated to. I don't give two fucks. I'd rather watch our bowl game again. I don't care about any of those sports. If Iowa State has a program in it and we're fighting for the possibility at the top tier of the conference or a top tier college championship, right? So we've got an opportunity at winning at the top. Where we don't have teams, baseball, St. Louis Cardinals fan right here. Look at us go top of the division. Soccer, I don't give a fuck about the MLS because one, there isn't a local alternative.
Right.
Two, I'm programmed into thinking if I can't get it locally, meaning in my state, Iowa, I might as well look for the best.
Which is the Premier League. So like,
yeah, so Tottenham are playing Chelsea on Sunday. I'll be watching. And so don't tell me for a second that you're going to get better numbers if you're going to consolidate the biggest brands of college sports together. I will not watch. I'll either continue watching Iowa State or move on and completely give up on it, you know. And that's not going to happen. I will continue to watch Iowa State. And that's the thing that I think the networks are banking on is how many people are going to just roll into these couple of leagues so that they can just not have to worry about. I don't know. I can't quite figure out the play, to be honest.
College football fans are guys who like Windows 95. Just give me the same damn shit and I'll be super fucking happy.
Right.
Like, the thing about, remember when, like, I think it was Pepsi who changed their recipe and, like, they said, oh, it's even better. And we did taste tests and, oh my gosh, all the reports that we wrote and studies that we did was made that this Pepsi tastes better. And then they came out and they said, we're changing the recipe. And people revolted because they're like, fuck you for changing my shit.
I'm a devout. So this might explain some of my Iowa State fandom too. I'm a devout Coke guy.
Okay.
It was Coca-Cola that did that. And that's why
it was Coke.
Yeah, okay. I wish like hell it was Pepsi. It was Coke, and that's why
I don't remember. I'm not old enough.
Coke classic now.
That's what I'm telling you. Like, you can't, you don't change it. There's old UCLA fans, like 50s, 60s, 70s, who are going, I'm not watching the game because I can't go to freaking Ohio State. I can't go to Rutgers or Maryland. I can't travel that far, and I don't want to.
I'm curious to see. It sounds like that's still ongoing with UCLA being part of, you know, the state of California's public institutions. I think there's still questions about whether or not they're going to have to help foot the bill for lost revenue that Cal has to pay now.
Yeah, I heard about that. They said that it might just be USC that goes. So that's going to be interesting how that plays out.
Well, or UCLA can go, but they're going to have to subsidize a rival program. Is kind of the argument. And so, like, how much money are you really making out of the Big Ten to make that worthwhile? I don't know.
I do think one thing is that a lot of these big teams, I think, also won't like it either. Because, like, if you really, really think about it, like, just think about all those big trophy – about all those trophy games that – the Big Ten has. Like, you don't think that Ohio State, yes, they'll be like one of the top brands, but like they play all these other games that are like pseudo rivals, like the Illibuck and all those other games, all those other trophy games that people will know and love. I don't think that they'll be a fan of this either.
I mean, the other thing that we need to talk about is like Bama, they go into the season thinking that they're going to go 12-0. I mean, what happens when they go 9-3? Because they have to play Oklahoma and Texas A&M and this team and that team and the other team.
Yeah.
And they never get a break.
What a miserable way to be a fan, by the way. Like, you wouldn't think that it would be a terrible thing winning so many times. But just think, you go in every Friday night, lay your head on your bed, having nightmares about losing.
Right.
Yeah. Or winning a close one instead of winning big. And all you're doing is dreading that you're going to lose, and then you're relieved when you don't.
They better expand that playoff because like if the whole SEC, if they all go 10-2, they're not getting a team in. And then they're going to look at each other and go, "Oh my gosh, we made a terrible mistake."
They're definitely going to expand it. Like, there's no way.
No, they're waiting for the exclusivity to
wear. Yeah, they put it off for a few years. Just a couple of months ago, they put it off for a couple more years.
Yeah, no, and it's not that they don't want to expand it. It's just so that ESPN doesn't get exclusive bidding rights to it. Yeah.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Like, the average fan, I've heard enough people say that. No, I mean, all of these conferences want to expand the playoff. They don't want to limit it to just ESPN being the only one to do.
Because ESPN is literally just think about how we consume sports. Like, ESPN used to be the only way to like see what happens. Now there's so many different outlets.
Right.
Well,
and I think enough conferences have felt like they've gotten wronged in one way or another by ESPN, some worse than others. That
something that reminded me of this conversation that I heard today was, so do you know who the new owner of the Denver Broncos is?
Yeah, one of the Waltons.
It's one of the Waltons, one of the Walmart people, okay?
Hmm.
And when this person was given like their, I forget which, I think it was Jim Walton or something. One of the Walton family, he bought the Denver Broncos. This guy is not a football fan, really. He just bought it because it's an asset. And when he was given his like little speech of like what he's looking forward to do for the team in like his press conference or whatever, what he's looking forward to doing and how he's looking to grow it, he referred to the commissioner as Roger Goodell. He said Roger Goodell. Do you know who Roger Goodell is, Tyler?
I don't know who Roger Goodell is. I know who Roger Goodell is.
It's Roger Goodell.
Well, he probably also has Kirk Ferentz as Kirk Ferentz.
Like, you just spent billions of dollars on a sports franchise that you don't give a shit about. You don't care about the wins and the losses. All you care about is where can I park my money?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just another investment.
And it drives me up the wall when this is all about money. And, yeah, it can be all about money. You know how you make money? You know what kills businesses? I've talked about this before, what killed Apple. Is when they get the suits involved in the accounting department. Every accounting department I know lost all the money. It loses money.
No, I would have led towards legal before accounting.
And legal and IT and all that. They all lose tons of money. And once he's like, go, how can we squeeze this orange juice? You know what? It's not about how can you squeeze the orange. It's about how can you plant more trees.
Right.
How can you expand the pageantry so that some people give a shit about Iowa State versus SEMO? How can you make this a better experience? How can you make all the, like, you're never going to have it perfect where every team is playing another team and is getting huge ratings and whatnot, but you can expand the sport to make it more interesting to watch, making it so it's like the NFL where maybe games are better, maybe put in like transfer rules and stuff so that teams can get rewarded if their guy leaves for a paycheck because they trained him up well enough. Because now it's backwards. Just Texas schools are getting whoever they want because they're loading up to play in the Super League. And the best way for us to fight this off and to become strong at Iowa State is go 12-0. Comes full circle.
I heard it was kind of an interesting idea. Pac-12 wise, it was a couple of guys, reporter guys, trying to come up with reasons, ways to keep Oregon, Washington, Utah, and the like invested in the Pac-12. And the idea was this: it was revenue sharing between the school and conference for college football playoff appearances or NCAA basketball tournament appearances. This is the main conversation, was college football playoff appearances. So the traditional model in all conferences is that the conference takes all of the money and they split it up evenly, right? And where they're talking is, okay, so it's a given we're going to bring in less money than the Big Ten and the SEC. Well, what if we dangle the carrot of the quote-unquote easier path to winning and you do your end of the deal? It's all on you now. Make your way to the CFP. Punch a ticket for $40 to $60 million, and you can keep half of it and the conference will split the other half rather than take it all. Well, that cleans up quite a bit of difference there between the haves and the have-nots. If you've got a regular winner, it's uneven revenue sharing, but it isn't, you know what I'm saying? In that it isn't a guaranteed uneven revenue share for a school like what we had with Nebraska and Texas all those years, and Oklahoma, I believe, too, where they weren't guaranteed an uneven share. They had to hold up their end of the deal, which would in turn keep the cachet of the conference up.
Here's the problem in that.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not without its faults, but it was interesting.
Yeah. See, I'm always for, like, you got to have equal shares.
Yes.
Now, if you're contractually where you go, you're rewarded based on merit. I'm fine with that to an extent, but where I'm not okay with is when you just automatically go, Texas, you deserve more because you're more of a draw. Right. No, even if you go 0-12.
And this yes.
That is so stupid. But where I see what their suggestion is, what it could be become an issue, is the league will purposely try to schedule teams like Oregon to have easier schedules than right. in Oregon State. Mm-hmm. They'll yep. put the bye weeks before the big games. They'll do all that. They'll line them up so that they have an easy way to the playoff.
Yep.
Well, but does the conference care who goes to the playoff?
The other teams, the members of the conference will. If they see that, oh my gosh, you're making it just so easy for them to go to the playoff and then take all of our money.
I don't see. Plus, I guess I would have the faith in the conference to not care who makes it.
I don't think Jamie Pollard would sign a deal like that.
Right.
Where he's giving up his 1/12 of a share.
Yes. I don't think he would give that up to get 1/24th if a team makes the playoff, a team that probably beat us, takes all of our money too. I don't think he would.
No, there ain't no way before that.
Well, let's think about this. Hang on. You guys can keep talking. I'm going to get a
count. Because, like, so. And one of the other things is, like, obviously, Oregon and Washington sites are set in the Big Ten. So, obviously, they're going to try to want to have a deal that will cause them to be able to back out of that deal after probably, like, 4 or 5 years so that they can possibly join the Big Ten.
So, let me just lay it out this way. So pretend for a minute that $50 million is what you get for an appearance in the CFP.
Yeah.
Split that up 12 ways. You get $4 million a school. So we're talking about a guaranteed $4 million on the years that your conference has a team that goes. Or the possibility that your school would pocket $25 million. And if someone else in your conference does it, you get two. I get it. We're talking about millions of dollars. So $4 million versus $2 million is a hell of a difference. but you understand
scholarships. That's a football team worth of scholarships right there.
Yes, I hear you. I'm just saying.
It's a football team worth of scholarships right there, Kev.
Yeah.
$2 million is $2 million. Yes.
Right.
Big money. Even if it's $90 million and $92
million. Well, that's the riverboat gambler in me. I'm kind of excited about that $25
million. Wow. What I have to tell you for your NFL news, because I've just checked Twitter, Zach Wilson is out for the year.
Oh, man.
The Jets are going to fucking suck.
The Jets are about to trade for Jimmy G, bro.
This podcast comes full circle. The Jets are going to fucking suck this year, dude.
Of course they were. We should have known that this was a bad landing spot for Breece.
You know what's funny is I thought he was still with the Seahawks. So,
who?
Who did you just say was injured?
Zach Wilson,
not Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson plays for Denver.
Okay, well now you've even know even worse. How many Wilsons are playing in the league anymore?
Anyway, What do you guys think? Should we wrap it up? We're kind of rambling now.
Yeah. It happens.
We'll see you guys later. We might record again this weekend. Who knows? We might have more shit to talk about. All right, guys. We'll wrap it up.
We'll see All right. Ya. 11-1.
Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.
I think probably 10-2, but I'll be fine with 11-1.
Yeah, I can handle it.
All right, go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.